Now, please pick out your Bible and turn your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. As we continue in our journey, and we'll trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are still with me, say amen. 1 John 5. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. I want to read the scripture to us as we proceed from where we left off yesterday and this morning. 1 John 5:19. The Bible says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Amen. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's the first scripture. I want us to pick another scripture in hand before we begin to discuss. Romans chapter 12. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in the sway of the wicked one. Second scripture I want us to bear in hand before we begin to proceed is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Are you with me in Romans? Say amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to try to explain 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And I trust that God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, so if you have your writing tools, you may pick them up. Now, there was something, there was a mechanism that God set in motion in creation that I want us to take note of tonight. A mechanism. You see, after that God finished creation, He put a potential within everything that He made that had life. The potential that will make it reproduce and replicate after its kind. Hallelujah. That means after that mango was created, God doesn't need to come create another mango, because right within the mango tree and the mango seed is inherent capacity, what we call a vital force that can make its cycle continue and prolong. Amen. That's a mechanism. Hallelujah. But you see, something happened. And I think at this point I need to define what corruption is. Corruption. Corruption actually is when something is devoid of the life of God, is corrupted. It cannot by any means produce the intention of God for its creation. When something is not under the influence of God, is corrupted. It will gravitate in any other direction except for the purpose for which it was fructified. And it happened to be that after the fall, amen, creation still sustained that capacity of being able to replicate and reproduce. And it still had the capacity to keep going on and keep unfolding. But the only thing that was missing was that it was devoid of the life of God. And as such, it was corrupt as far as God is concerned. But it still had the capacity to what? to replicate. It still has the capacity to what? To reproduce. It still has the capacity to keep going on, and the circle was still held in view. Do you understand me now? So the devil now takes advantage of the potential that is inherent in that, in creation, that can make it go on. But the idea is this: to at where does it go on to? Because it is no longer in line with God's will, it is no longer under God's dictate, it means that another force now takes it on as it pleases. Are you still here with me? And so everything in creation now began to respond to the dictate of the prince of this world, and that is what John means when he says that the whole world functions under the sway of the wicked one. His potential to replicate, his potential to continue, is being maneuvered and manipulated by the evil one. If you are still with me, say amen. It can still go on, but not by God's engineering. So that's the first thing I want us to pick this night, is that some things can go on without God. But it happens to be that if God is working, if God walks and is working, his work will continue as long as he's still working. And when he's no longer working, his work stops. But in creation, he has capacity to keep on working, even if God is not working. But the point is this: it works and unfolds a particular trend. And that trend is no longer God that dictates the trend, but it's another prince, an evil one, a one of darkness, that actually determines the trend of his unfolding. You see, this becomes very deadly because of the capacity that is in creation. It's embedded within it. But now the evil one channels that capacity and allows it to unfold as he pleases. And that's what John identified in his writing as saying that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Now, I wrote something down here, and I want us to, I don't know if it will make sense to us. You see, all that belongs to human nature continues spontaneously, but all that belongs to God continues as long as God is working. All, and as long as God is working, and the world is all inclusively that which can continue apart from divine activity. The world is all inclusively that which can continue or has the capacity to continue without any divine activity. Now, I'm trying to bring the definitions that we did yesterday, made yesterday, or gave yesterday, to a closer view, so that you'll be able to understand that anything that has capacity and audacity to continue without divine activity is altogether under the sway of the wicked one and can be called part and parcel of the world. Are you still here with me? Oh my God, you are getting dull now. I say, are you still here with me? Amen. So it can keep progressing, it can keep unfolding without any divine activity. It's under the sway of the devil. Hallelujah. If you have ever read the book of Proverbs, the preacher begins to give us an insight into this capacity of everything that is under the old creation that fell. He began to tell us that he has studied the circle, the trend, and the movement and gravitation of everything under the old creation. And he has revealed that everything under the old creation passes through or can be defined by circles and cycles. Circles and cycles of vanity tending to higher levels and higher degrees of vanity. Because he made us understand that the purposes of the entire old creation is vanity. So this trend we are talking about, this trend that can still be unfolding without defined activity, the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes calls it a trend that unfolds in vanity and also unfolds in higher measures and degrees of vanity. Alright? Now, have you realized that people that go to the shrine to covenant with the devil to make money, everybody knows how they will end. Alright? We have seen, many of us have heard stories or even encountered firsthand several people that have tried using those means to enrich themselves and to empower themselves, and at the end of their time on the face of the earth, what happened was unfortunate. But till today, people still go to source power and source endowment and source endowment from those sources, even though they know that this is how it went. Because the purposes of the old creation do not have within them and inherent in them any hope to deliver. So it's an unfolding tide of vanity because it is under the sway of the wicked one. And what can be so pathetic is that believers in Jesus are also found in the traffic, are also found in that thread. Hallelujah. They have been seduced by things that are elemental. And many of their lives is going the same direction that this vain trend has predicted according to the will of his wicked ruler. If we go to the book of Judges, the Bible begins to reveal to us seven times. I want you to understand that Israel is a nation that was God's idea. He initiated the nation. We can call it God's own nation. But even in God's own nation, you will see seven times in the book of Judges how that the nation, the entire nation, was gradually gravitating towards idolatry. And after that they gravitate towards idolatry, a king rises up and begins to dominate them. That is a nation that has a promise from God that no one will be able to stand before them all the days of their existence. But because of their idolatry, their covenant with God becomes soiled. And then the effect is that they come under bondage. And then after a while they begin to cry, "Oh God, help us! We repent!" And suddenly God raises a deliverer. And he will yank them out of the grip of the devil. Yank them out of the grip of the enemy. And then they will begin to celebrate freedom. And just before you know it again, they are going back to idolatry. Going back to idolatry. And before you realize what's going to happen, they come under bondage. And that cycle continued seven times in the book of Judges. God had to raise somebody to yank them out of slavery. And just before it was done, they were back again to the idols. And if you check the trend, the trend is so definite that you agree with me that there is a very intelligent being behind the trend, tilting it in a particular direction of his own will. Because it goes, always goes in the same direction on the downward plane. Have you realized that? All right, somebody just graduates from school and suddenly he has a good job, and before you know it, he's well paid, he has a good car in town, and then gradually you begin to see him hanging out with girls. We all know that is not good for you. We all know, but when he gets to a level like that, he's within a force field of vanity, and the prince can have him sway. And after a short while,
with his intelligence, his know-how, his training, his exposure, he still finds himself gravitating until he gets to. Most of the time against his own will, but he still arrives there. When you check the trend critically, you realize that behind it is a very intelligent spiritual entity. And John said that the whole world lieth, everything that exists without the divine life, actually is under the sway of an intelligent prince, and he orchestrates and manipulates it in a direction that takes men away, farther away, much more away from God. Are you sitting here with me? He said, John, it's a light. I want you to be calm. The Lord has blessed us with the rain and brought some a chilly atmosphere so that to go with this hot message, it will balance up somewhere along the line in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something. Only one person here knows the person I want to talk about, but since only one person knows, it's a secret. But I don't want to call his name because nobody will know except me and the person that knows the person. I want to bring something out of his life, an illustration. He's a friend of mine. Hallelujah. While we're still on campus, we used to pray together. God started moving with us gradually at that point in time. And somehow he had an opportunity and he left his country. Amen. He's there now. And suddenly, the prince of this world that has everything in the world's way under his power met with him in far away, somewhere in the Americas, somewhere there, far away. we were together in the place of prayer while we were still on campus. We believed in righteousness. We believed in the ways of God. He was not at any point ignorant of the ways of God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not ignorant. Comes from a very renowned Christian family in the Tid Nation. Very renowned. Hallelujah. But he found himself in the Americas. Amen. And at the time he was writing us, acquainting us with his condition, he said that he was in a pool of iniquity. And he could not find where the brakes were. To what's that? A sway. He has been swayed by a force. I want you to understand that the guy knows righteousness. He comes from a Christian family. He was raised well. We prayed together. We fasted together. Many times I heard him speak of the burden he had about the missions, places in the Tid Nation that has not yet been reached by the gospel. But he found himself somewhere. Now, what I'm talking about here can happen to anybody. And maybe some of us here are trapped in those things now that we need to be broken out. God needs to wrought a deliverance here this night. In the name of Jesus. This prince is the most ferocious entity I've ever seen and unknown or heard about. He can creep into your life without an invitation. And by the time he's done with you 5 years, you will be looking for him and you wonder how I could be so plumbed that with my eyes open. See how with me, say amen. As at the time he sent a mail back, he was in his way. And even though he desired to stop the motion, he just found out that he was not in possession of the steering that was driving his life. No more brakes. He was crying like that. Man in Mark chapter 5. But he could not stop what was going on because he was in sway. Is he with me? Then he made a comment in his statement. A comment that we hold dear to our hearts because it's a word of wisdom. He said, sin will take you further away from God than you ever imagined. Tell your preach that sermon to your neighbor. Sin, oh my God, preach it with power. Sin will take you further away from God than you ever thought. mind and how it manipulates the destinies of men, we see that he manipulates them in a particular direction. Just one direction. A direction that will take them further away from God than they ever thought and ever imagined. That's the purpose of the world system. To disconnect you and drive you so far away from God that even when you yell, you know it's as though God doesn't hear. And many believers have been manipulated by his sway. It was John the Apostle that had insight much more than any other of the apostles about this great tyrant called the prince of this world. When we talk about the kingdom, it was Matthew that had revelation about the kingdom of heaven. When we talk about faith, it was Paul that had revelation about what faith is. He defined it and gave us examples. But when we talk about the cosmos, the world system, the tyrant, the prince of this world, it was John, every time John was pointing at him, that I'm seeing an evil. He had prophetic eyes. He was able to discern the true evil of humanity. He said that every potential in the world that doesn't have the divine life embedded in it is under his sway. And the book of Judges teaches us a perfect lesson that his sway takes men in one direction and one direction only, away from God, and further away from God than they ever expected. There are several of us here that were burning for God, moving with God on a good plane, and suddenly you just allowed a break. Hallelujah. You allowed a break, just, man, let me take a break. Yes. And that break has claimed 7 years from your life before you're able to. You know what will undermine the power of his sway? They not give you understanding in the name of Jesus. And so when we progress in the scriptures, you see that he has this intention of causing everything to sway along a particular normal, corruptible path. And that was the picture that the preacher was bringing to our notice. He said that everything about life was revealed in circles and in cycles. And the fullness and the manifestation of it, its fullness extent, was vanity upon vanity. That means vanity and every degree of vanity and more degrees of vanity and everything and its sum total was vanity. Hallelujah. It means that when we look upon the scriptures, the first thing you are going to notice about the cosmos is that there's a trend away from God. Tell your neighbor that there is a trend away from God. This spiritual intelligence, he sways all things and maneuvers all things to gradually be going away from God. He's so gradual. The doses he administers are so gradual, so slow. You will not be able to know that you are losing ground. But unfortunately and unknown to you, you are moving on a voyage that leads away from God. Many people revive and just recollect themselves when they have gone 2 years down the road. And he has done so much damage that recovery may be difficult to come back into view. But this is a place, he's so intelligent. And with your eyes open, with the scriptures in your mind, he can still take you sway. Oh my God! Anytime you preach the gospel, you can call Satan a liar, it will be true. You can call him a thief, it will be true. You can call him a counterfeit, a deceiver. You can call him a tyrant, it will be true. Don't be in a hurry to call him a fool, because he's not. Oh my God, with your eyes open, your head thinking very well, no headache, no back pain, but the sway takes you on, and you don't know that you are in motion. Until you have gotten so far away from God, then he removes your blindfold and says, see how far you have gone. Hallelujah. At that time you look for the brakes, and the vehicle is gliding by its own way. The Lord give you understanding. So that was what John was trying to bring to our notice, that the whole world lieth in the sway of the wicked one. And when you get to a new environment, don't be quick to begin to act. Check the level, the momentum of the sway of darkness in that place. Every time you go to a campus has its own energy. Have you realized that? It has its own life. It has its everything, has its own energy. And if you are not careful, and you are not rooted, and not prepared, and not trained, and you enter into the torrent, oh my God, after 4 years, what you will become? When you look at yourself in the mirror of destiny, you'll be bad-headed. The Lord will be understanding. And we need to understand this way that He has, that He makes happen. Every place, the banking world has its own energy. And you see somebody from the village. He has come into the banking world and he has stayed there for about 2 weeks. He's recalibrated. The desires that he sustains in his mind, the same desires that the guys in the bank for 24 years have had. As if there's a computer that he programs your mind and programs you to begin to behave somehow. And little do they know that they are under the power of a sway. That a prince that is intelligent, he understands how things work in that terrain and in that sphere of human endeavor. He's the one that wants them to think like that. And if they continue thinking like that, they'll keep going, going, and going, and not realize that they're emotional. Oh my God, you have your mind until you go into civil service. Civil service has its own life, it has its own momentum. It moves at its own speed. There is a hierarchy, there's a structure. And when you come into that place, you will have to align with what exists. Many things are fraudulent. Many things are in doubt. Many things are not done righteously. And you just come in and you want to blend. Before you know it, you would have mingled and mixed away your identity. Sway. And that power keeps brooding. And that force keeps brewing. And it keeps going. It takes deep spiritual discernment to know when to stand up, when to walk, when to run away. You need to know. Hallelujah. So everything keeps moving in a direction away from God. Somebody can come into the ministry and have passion. He's so good preaching truth. He believes he has a passion and a body. After 5 years, just take his old tapes. And take his new tapes and compare them. In between, somebody showed up that nobody saw. He was recalibrated. His emphasis was changed. His body and his appetite has changed. What he's seeking has changed. His vision has been modified. And before you know it, and when they came into town, they came with good intentions. But see, most of the time, we underrate these prince. The Bible does not. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is what? In you than he that is what? So the Bible acknowledges that he's great. But he said the one in you is greater, but this one is what? Scriptural revelation acknowledges his greatness. And many destinies have been wasted because of lack of discernment. They just jump the rank and fires and allow the energy of the system to drive them before you wake up. You'll be gone. Are you still with me? I told you to hold the second scripture in your hand. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Please turn your Bible with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Please turn your Bible. Many people ask themselves, how did I get here? There's a level of discernment that you must sustain in life if you are not going to become like every other person. And that's why we put up this meeting this month to build discernment in believers so that they will understand the power and the oppression of the real enemy, that their hearts will now be sensitive to what the devil is doing, and they will now be more resourceful in the hand of God to be used as vessels that God will use to bring about the radical change that He has promised us. Many have stood up and we felt that hope has come, but their rising was like a cloud that did not have rain within it. Suddenly our hope was dashed because the prince was able to find their weaknesses and destroy them. Look upon the scriptures in the book of Romans chapter 12. And I want us to do the reading carefully. Carefully. Are you still with me? Are you with me? I found a need, a great need,
Because many of us, our destinies here are wasted. You do not know, but you know you are not normal. You just know it. You are not normal. Somebody has taken from you, but you never saw the thief. What your life has become is an aberration. When you were younger, you did not even imagine that you get to this point. It's as if the hold is so strong upon you, and that your choice doesn't even matter in this business. The Bible says that the whole world lieth in the wicked one, under the sway of a prince that is intelligent, maneuvering, manipulating things according to his own will and desire. And the destinies of men are in this voyage. The destinies of nations are in this voyage. He has been manipulating nations, manipulating tribes, cultures, people, institutions, according to that trend. And you need to be a kingdom man that has discernment to decide the tide you walk under. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Please stop there for now. The reason why he said, "Be not conformed to this world," is because there is a force that pushes you towards conformity. You may not know, but when you come to campus and you find people operating a particular way, in a particular way, you will most naturally want to align so that you will not look like a Jew. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Everyone is looking upon me as a strange man this evening. Yeah, but I know that many of us are more guilty than what I preached. And I pray that God will give me grace to be able to unravel the sack so that we can find the deliverance this evening. There is this temptation to conform. And for those people that have not done business sufficient with God to receive a security from Christ, they find themselves conforming. Hallelujah. You see, it takes a Christian that has done business with Christ, pressed into God, and is pressing into God consistently, for you to find security in Christ, so that you don't need to add anything to the sense of your being for you to feel full. It takes such a man to be able to stand his ground when everything in the environment is agitating that you attend to these forces that want to put you in a particular classification. This statement is a command. Be not conformed. It's just like the Old Testament command. Thou shalt not. He's saying here, be not conformed. It's not begging. It's not suggesting. He's saying, so be not conformed. Because there's a force, a power, under which the whole world is being manipulated, seeking to get you conformed and classified, seeking to put you in a rank, in a file, in a definition, under an articulation, so that he can deal with you in the context of his systems. Be not conformed to this world. Hallelujah. You will come to realize that your only possibility of escaping conformity is, well, we'll talk about that tomorrow, not today. Now, notice what he suggested, that if you do not want to be conformed, then you have to be transformed. I still remember that I studied as a scientist, even though I don't know anything I study anymore. But I still remember a little. Hallelujah. That in chemistry, we have different kinds of structures. We have what is called the trans structure. We have what is called the cis structure. Hallelujah. Anytime we use that word trans in science, in English, in normal life, it has to do with an utter change, an utter exchange of components. What we are talking about here is not reformation. Maybe the thing has broken here, then we patch it up and reform it. Try to see if we can still obtain what it used to be like. That's not what we're talking about. Because if you are going to do that, you are going to have to use the old materials and then just come and put some cement inside and just try to see how you can copy what it used to be and how faithfully you can so do. But when it comes to transformation,
The whole structure has to be taken up. And something entirely new will have to be put into its place. You are going to find out that the only possibility we have for deliverance begins with the way our mind functions. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Your transformation begins by the renewing of your mind. There is a way that people that are under the fall think. Let me give you an instance and make us go back into the Old Testament. I like reaching back into Genesis. That's the book of beginnings. And everything that happened in the entire Bible must have a derivative from Genesis. If not, it's not biblical doctrine. And so we can trace the rapture back to Genesis and see that Enoch was the first man to be raptured. And if God did it before, he will do it again. Everything that God promised to do again, he has done it before. And so that there's a shadow that supports our current New Testament revelation. God has done it before. And he's disclosing to us the revelation of what he has been doing, what he wants to do, and what he will do. He has done it before. So by the time we go to the book of Genesis, we are going to see something. As I always say, the creation of man was supposed to take, the making of man was supposed to take three processes. The first process is create, second process is form, third process is make. And it happens to be that the three persons of the Godhead had a part to play at each point for that making to become complete. And so in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, what happened was that the creation dimension happened, and it was the Father that did that. Then in Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 to 7, you are going to see the formation dimension. It was the Son that did that. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. For every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain, and there was no man to till the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the second dimension. When the second dimension was finished, man was a being whose greatest strength was in his consciousness, was in his intelligence, and that's what the Bible means when it says man was a living soul. But the project man was not yet completed because he had to be a made being before he would be completed. So in the making process, it was creation, formation before making. And it was supposed to be the Holy Spirit that would do the final making, that would crown him to become the being that God wants to construct. Because if you go to the book of Job, Job said that it's the Spirit of the Lord that has made me, the breath of the Almighty giveth me life. Hallelujah. So the making process was supposed to be done by the Holy Spirit, but that aspect was not done in Project Man before he fell. Are you still with me? Still just trying to explain that scripture will not conform to this world. That aspect was not yet done before he fell. I said it this morning that every creature that God created was supposed to be a creature created after its kind, but man was not such. Man was not created after mankind, but man was created after the God kind. So he was still a man after mankind, after the second phase of the process. He was still man after mankind. The third process would have brought the divine life into him, by the Spirit of God coming to tabernacle him, he would have become man after the God kind, what we call the God man. That was what Christ became before he could bring us salvation. 100% God, 100% man. So there were several times that Jesus spoke by man, several times he spoke by God, several times he said, oh, and he was an hunger. That was man. But when he spoke to that woman by the well of Samaria and said, if thou knowest that gift of God, and who speaketh unto thee, you that ask me for living water. My God, no man speaks like that. So there are several times his humanity speaks, several times his divinity speaks. He is a God man. In his compendium, God was mingled with man. He was no more man, he was no more God. He was no more God, he was no more. He's a mystery. That's what man, Adam, was supposed to be at the end of the day. But the project did not get to that point of his beauty. The vision of God was not crystallized yet, and then the fall set in. It means that the man that was affected by the fall was the man of man, not the man of God. You get it? And it happens to be that the devil knows how that man of man thinks. As long as you think like man of man, you are going to go away by his power. This was the revelation that the apostle John saw. He cried it out all in his epistle and his gospels, making the world, making the church conscious of this power that was working in everything that did not have the divine life. And if your mind is not changed, you will run after something mundane and become his thing. And there will be many that are held under his power. Many preachers, many Christians, many people from all walks of life, just going the way of the trend and going much more further from God every time and every second. Be ye not conformed, he said. It's a commandment to all nations. As I preach, please take an inventory of your life quickly. Check where you started and check where you are now. Maybe you might find something that took 2 years out of your life without your notice. Hallelujah. The church has come to a point where what's going on now is critical. God doesn't want to move with everybody no more. He has waited too long for that. The time has expired. He's waiting for people that will purge themselves and connect with him and agree to function in his own terms. The reason why you must function with his terms is because he's the only one that knows where you can stand, that the torrent of the world will not get to you. And if only our eyes can be open to see this prince, not to be dreaded by his ferociousness, but to walk with circumspectness, with care and caution, always talking to God for grace and capacity. Because by the time Moses came to Egypt and told Pharaoh his ambition, if Moses did not have sufficient capacity to take on Pharaoh, oh my God, it was a rough nightmare that was going to come to pass, because Pharaoh was the going down of the sun, he was the rising of the sun. Upon his golden helmet, the cobra was pointed. Do not whip the serpent in a hurry if you don't have sufficient capacity. And many people, oh Jesus, I just want your eyes to be open. And if we survive, it's only going to be by the grace of God. That's why we need to know God more. We know him too little to stand against this threat. Too little. When last did you lock yourself up in a room to pray for about 10 hours to get your mind galvanized, that the anointing of God will spread into your mind and possess your mind and use your mind and recalibrate your thinking and take you beyond human level to divine level? He said, come! Let us reason together. When last did you gravitate in your mind towards the crescendo of the Spirit and allow the Holy Ghost use your mind and tell you things, show you great and mighty things that you have never learned, things that you are not taught? We are too normal, too natural to stand against the threat that is arrayed before us. By the time you check the things we emphasize in church and on the pulpit in our time, you know that somehow many pulpits are under his way. Many pulpits. And I tell you, the best way for deliverance in this time is that you are going to make up your mind that you are going to go on a journey, on an adventure with God, so that your spiritual senses will become exercised and you'll be able to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. The greatest need of our time and our generation is discernment. Please help me tell your neighbor. Discernment is lacking. Who will warn us when the storm is about to come? Who will warn us when the snake is about to strike? Who will warn us when danger is about to come? And the reality of God diminishes by the day, by the hour, because the whole world lieth in the sway of the wicked one. Are you still here with me? Hallelujah. If the devil cannot get you with adversity, he will try you out with prosperity. He will try feeling about your soul until he finds something that you incline towards.
He'll feed that aspect of you and feed it and feed it
until it blocks all your sense of reason, until it blocks all your sense of articulation and balance, and he will drive you like a slave rider. And before you recover yourself, you'll be light years gone from your destiny. Be not confounded, he said, for being transformed. He knows how the fallen man thinks. He knows how the man of man thinks. The only thing he doesn't know is the mind of the spirit. That's a mystery to him. Hallelujah. Because you cannot predict the Holy Ghost. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to renew your mind, when you make yourself available to God in the place of prayer, and it begins to renew your mind, sometimes you are going to have to hit the wall and experience some things that are very terrible so that your mindset can change. Several times God will unleash experiences into your life to hit you and change your mindset, to give you some blows and make you fall on the ground, just show you that you are incapacitated, so that you can learn how to trust him more. He's working on your mind. You are too confident of what you can do, of what you should do, and what you will do. So he needs to knock you off and whack you sometimes and make you fall on the ground and cry without help. Then your mind begins to change that you are not the standard bank. You are not the big, strong, reliable that you always thought you were. When you begin to come to that point, your mind is changing, because as long as you think that you are big, strong, reliable, it is a deception that the devil feeds you with so that he can manipulate you further. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Oh my God, if you are here, say amen. Now go with me to the Bible quickly. He said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The force that holds the nation sway seeks to get you conformed to what you can understand. You see, the devil cannot deal with you as an individual. No. What he must do is that he must have to put you into a classification. He must have to put you into a sphere that he understands. He must have to classify you. People that are lusting for women, he can deal with you on that point. People that are lusting for position, oh my God, he has so many people in that category, and he can deal with you in the whole lot. He needs to put you somewhere in the baggage, in the carriage, and then he deals with you from that point and transports you to a place you have never been to before. And when you look back at where you came from, you'll not be able to find your way home. So he must find something you like and entice you from that standpoint, and then categorize you in one of his categories that he has been dealing with for all this while, and you'll not be so different from all the people under his chain and under his power. But when your mind is renewed, he cannot understand your reflexes. He can't predict what you do next, because you go seek God first to get an instruction on what to do. For such people, he cannot deal with them. Then he will try to, okay, let's make him richer. Maybe it will reveal his soft spot and reveal his weakness, so that through that weakness we can destroy him. But when you still become weak, you become rich and become influent and affluent, you still seek God to find out, what am I going to use this extra change for? You know, I don't have so much of a big stomach. It's not all about eating and drinking or increasing my wardrobe. What? How much can I wear? I know you brought this thing for a purpose. Please help me understand. Then he said, okay, those guys doing missionary work there in Tiblan, the lady, make their journey swift. Hallelujah. Make their ministry better. Say, okay, that's why you gave me the money. Oh my God. He's faithful to that. You see that the money that came into his life that was supposed to unlock an appetite for him to become the big guy in town and ride a jeep to Minnesota University, and they're on the light in the night. And the devil now finds out that this guy doesn't do what the other guys in his home do, because God has renewed his thinking. That's the link point. Tell your neighbor, renew your mind. Let me give you an acid test to know whether you are still within reach. Anytime you think about self, Your motivation is self. The reason why you want to be a preacher is so that you will be known and become as a charismatic revelator of the scripture. Or somebody that comes and bursts like a bubble. And nations here get the ripple effect of his temper and terror.
Oh my God!
You will not go too far. You will not go too far. Your case is not new. There are several people that rose up like that. They didn't go too far. But if you come upon the scene with a heart to serve God, with no appetite at all for gain, it's not all about me. God, you see, when Solomon came to God, and God appeared to him and said, "Oh my God, what do you ask of me?" God said, "Give me wisdom so that I'll be able to judge your people. These your guys are so great, so diverse, so deep. You have been talking to them and training them through the law and the prophets. They know so much. If I don't know more than them, I may not be able to help them. God increase my capacity and enlarge me on the inside." When God saw that the guy's prayer was not all about him, he wanted to be more resourceful. He wanted to be more effective and efficient. God said, "Because you did not ask for riches." He gave him riches free. Do you realize that? But today we are looking for breakthrough. Something needs to happen. I need to change my vehicle so that when I'm moving in town in the night in my country city and I put my lights on, somebody will know that a great man just came to town. So shout hallelujah. You keep doing all that nonsense, and you see, you are not the first person to think like that. His way lacks this kind of thinking. Before you know it, your voice has gone down, and not every preacher you know that you don't hear of died. Not all of them died. You don't know. Hallelujah. But when you say that will be done, I'm not the best, I'm not the greatest, but I just make myself available so that you can make use of me. I'm useful to you by any means or anyhow. Oh my God, it's my pleasure to serve and hold your sword in the field of battle. Jesus will make something out of you that you never imagined you could become. Solomon never knew that he would have riches. He said, "I give you work for free. I give you military might for free." We pray for protection and go to next vision and say, "Oh God, open the door. The window you open has closed. Something must happen. Heaven must unleash itself upon me. I need no." All our prayers are empty of God, full of self. And you expect us to come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I think we are most deceived as a generation. Most of our prayers, we don't know that they are articulated and by the way. You think the way he understands. How do you expect to prosper? How do you expect to go ahead of him? His wives are many. Hallelujah. If you check the way he himself fell, he fell because he had an agenda. He said, I will. So if you to become, say, I. Oh my God, you fall the way you fell. You understand the way you think. And the falling nature is I. But the kingdom nature is not my will, but thine. He can't understand that. I see here with me. Second thing I want to show us is in John chapter 17. Please turn your Bible. The first thing I've just showed you is the trend away from God. And what we need to do in order not to be part of that trend, I'll speak more on that tomorrow. If you don't want to be part of that trend, then you need to begin to work on your mind. You need to begin to imbibe the way God thinks, and you need to begin to ask God to help you so that he will have his way in your life. His way is superior to your way. His wisdom is superior to your wisdom. If you can put down your wisdom and take upon yourself his own wisdom, he will take you through the dim places. He will take you through the dark places. He will take you through the slippery places and set you upon a rock. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Now, so that's the first thing. The trend away from God is a mathematical calculation that has been arrived at by the prince of this world. And everything under his sway goes in that trend away from God. In case you are here today and your life has so drifted, you don't even know the last time you called God in your prayers in a solemn environment where you knelt down on your knees and you felt faith in your heart and you called God. If you are here like that, oh my God, you are under a curse. The curse has been looking for you. Because when a curse is released, it doesn't come to kill you instantly. It waits around you and looks for your weakness. And by it destroys you. And if you are going to come and overturn the power of a curse, you must have a covenant that speaks better things. And you have never once in your life activated a superior covenant that will overshadow the darkness that's been haunting your life. Over! You need prayers in this meeting. In the name of Jesus. You know, many Christians go casual about their Christian lives. They just say, well, the Lord will help us. You know, see, more time will not help you. More time. Somebody sang that said, the difference between you and I is time. Give a help me there. The difference between you and I is time. Hey, the difference between you and I, let me tell you the truth, is time. Help me. Don't be religious. The difference between you and I is time. Have you sung that song in a church before? The difference between you and I is time. Oh God. Hey, the difference. We sang it those days that enough time passed, nothing changed. let me tell you, the difference is God. The difference between you and I is time. Don't wait another minute. Today is the day of salvation. If God does not show up, nothing will change, I tell you. When I met God, when I met Jesus, oh my God, the graph of my life changed. And not every time has been easy. But I tell you, it has been refreshing. Somebody say hallelujah. Second thing I need to show us. Oh my God. I need to cut some of these scriptures away now. Hallelujah. John 17. Gabriel, you refuse to play for me. Listen, play for me. Oh yeah, stand up. Oh, okay. No problem. It's all right. Just leave it. The difference between you and I is time. Let me tell you, time all by itself cannot effect a change. You waited last year, nothing happened to you. You want to wait again. The difference between you and I, that is false sense of security. It administers false hope and makes you deepened under the sway of the prince of darkness. That kind of faithless, aimless waiting that a wild wind from nowhere will just hop and time. Oh, it doesn't exist anywhere. It's a song that consoles people under the sway of darkness to wait more and expect redemption from a place it was not promised. The difference is God. And if you turn your face to God, I tell you, if you are not distracted, you keep pressing. When we began to see God those days, we didn't even know him, how he looked like he becomes. We didn't know. Hallelujah. Oh my God, I was a guy man, I tell you. A guy man. Moving around. Hallelujah. But when the time came and we decided to connect with God, I did it wholeheartedly. Not even knowing how the God would look like when he shows up. But you know what? He showed up. And he gave us conviction. He made us understand that the future he's showing us now is already existing in him. He's not manipulated by time. He's not frustrated by days. He's not under pressure of years. He's in eternity. He's in tomorrow, yesterday. Oh my God! And when he speaks, his words are not localized and fragmented by time. Those words are yea and amen. Through the gist of what he told us, we believed him and began a journey of faith. Even though we could not see where he was leading and where he was headed. But thank God he helped us. Because today I'm standing on a cliff and I can see afar off. Hallelujah. He will keep you confused and you'll never see your future. No hope will come to you. He, when he wants to destroy your destiny under the sway of his power. Let me stop there for now. Cut away some scriptures so that we will be able to go to, because I want us to pray this. Some things need to break. Your understanding needs to be enlightened. God needs to shine some light in your darkness. Because you may not know, I went somewhere to preach. It's supposed to be a very strong fellowship. I got there and I read the atmosphere in the spirit. They were all in darkness and death. But meanwhile, they were still doing. It's a big fellowship. So many people. They were still doing the normal things. The secretary will come and give an announcement. On Wednesday, God is not here. And these people don't pray. Jesus. Well, and Joshua prayed, we prayed our life that day. All kinds of prayer, everything we had, we listed it so that God will move, but the atmosphere was thick. The place was under the sway of the wicked one. And when I came and picked the Bible, I felt no answer upon me. That has not happened to me for many years. Anytime, even if I'm waking up from sleep and you give me the Bible, I can wake up with a revelation that can make somebody meander from hell and find himself in heaven and say amen. But that day, the oil was not there. The place was under a mighty sway, and they still had a secretary reading an announcement. When will you stop going through the motion? When will you stop? I never go to a factory where they make soap. Soap factory. You see the machine to come, there is a soap called to touch it. Then the Joy logo will appear. Even if there's no soap, the machine will lie. No soap. God is not in the service, and the secretary is announcing another meeting. Oh my God! May God give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. No soap! No soap! Just going through the motion, forcing us to sing a song. Holy Spirit! Sometimes in some meetings I don't see. There's, if the guy is not leading us in the anointing, there's death and dryness everywhere. Nobody seems to be able to see. The place is under the sway of darkness. I began my teaching and I said, if you are still with me, say amen. Nobody answered. I said, Jesus, either you take me out of here or take somebody out of here. But today, something must die. Either I die or something dies. Oh my God, as we proceeded in that service, the one that had been absent came. And he came in a hurry. And his coming was strained. And so people in the service started crying. That was a dead service. So he had to announce his arrival by crying. Yes, sir. He came forcefully because they had locked him out. When we gave him half a chance and half of the window opened, he came with a temper. The place erupted. We had been going on in our religion many times without the vital presence of God. John says, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Paul gives us this commandment from the Lord. Do not be conformed to this world. It doesn't matter whether you are not popular, whether the devil wants to make you look ashamed of what you are. He said, do not be conformed. If you do not surrender your will, your day will come. God will honor you. Do not be conformed. It doesn't matter what you lose, what you don't get. You may look wretched, nothing to show for what you have been doing. You say, do not be conformed. You fight your finances, fight your wardrobe, fight everything that belongs to you. Sometimes you begin to fight your family. When you refuse to obey him, he stretches forth his hand, begins to fight the members of your family so that he can get your attention. Do not be conformed. Because the devil doesn't have ultimate power. Many times when he goes into manifestation, God gives him limitations. So he's not in charge. If you stand your ground long enough, the story will change. But many guys backed out shortly before the change came. They were still under his sway. The Lord give you understanding. In Jesus' name. Turn with me to John chapter 17. I want us to look at the prayer of Jesus. The prayer life of a man actually reveals his spiritual depth. If we hear you pray, we'll know how individual state. And that's why when you go to the book of John chapter 17, you may not understand what Jesus is saying, because he is a spirit talking to a spirit. And so you may not find the words he spoke in John 17 reasonable, because he was speaking on a high spiritual level. Now turn your Bible with me to John chapter 17. Let's peep into his prayer. And when we so do, you will understand what I'm talking about. Just pray with me, say amen. John 17, turn with me. Hallelujah. I'll soon be done. Second thing I want us to take note of, the world that the Bible disclosed to us, is what I want us to look upon now. Just four more scriptures and we'll be done tonight. In John chapter 17, Jesus begins to pray. And if you have a red letter Bible, you see that from verse 1 is red. I want you to go back home and try to study to find out what exactly is Jesus saying in his prayer. Amen? But my emphasis is not exactly the whole chapter, but verse 15. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Because somebody will say, oh my God, if the world is this terrible, this dark, this deep, why not take us out of this place? You find out the will of God revealed through the prayer that Jesus made. He says, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. As we said the first night, there is one called the evil one. And John has rightly told us that the whole world lies within his sway. Now, in these few minutes, I want us to bring the satellite upon this evil one and try to understand who exactly is this personality of which the Bible so says in the prayer of Jesus, keep them from this guy. The world is not the problem, but this guy is the problem. And you keep them from this guy. If you can guarantee that you keep them from the evil one, then no need to take them out of the world. Hallelujah. Who is this guy? Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's run a study. Don't forget the two things we are going to highlight this evening. First of all, we have highlighted the trend away from God as the cosmos, the sway that the evil one holds on the world. Alright? And if you are part of that voyage, you find yourself gravitating farther and farther away from God. He can use your academics to make that happen. He can use your job to make that happen. He can use your business to make that happen. He can use a relationship to make that happen. But no matter what way, how which way, he wants you to go away from God. And he has his tricks and his tactics. And if you are going to survive it, you have to renew your mind. Alright, let's take a snapshot at the evil one of which the Bible speaks, Ezekiel chapter 28, quickly. Let's look at the person of Satan. Who is he? Amen. Who is he? There's so much we can talk about him. I think we need to devote a 3-day program and talk about Satan. His personality, his operation, his lieutenants, his structure, his kingdom, his operation, and then his manifestation. We need to take 3 days and talk about it. Because one of the things the Bible says we should not be ignorant of is what? The devices. Hallelujah. Have I told you about my friend, the story of my friend? My friend had a problem and he used to faint every time. He would just faint. We'll just be talking now, he'll just faint. We'll just be talking now, he'll just faint. Hallelujah. And one day he just left my room and then he was just going and then they just brought him on the head back. He has fainted again. That day my spirit was provoked and I fell upon him and I began to pray and invoked his spirit back from anywhere it had gone to. And his spirit came back. Then he said his head is spinning. I said, lie down, my baby. When he now revived, I told him that when I prayed for you and called your spirit back, a woman called me. The woman must be after your life. He said, my friend, I don't believe these are things you see anyhow. Don't be seeing things for me, okay? I said, no trouble, no problem. I've gotten your message. Hallelujah. Don't see stuff. You see too much. Well, when I was about to write my final exam, the guy's younger sister ran to him and said, I saw you in a dream and our grandmother was pointing his hand that you never prosper. That was when he now knew that there was a woman after his life. He now came to me and said, that fasting and prayer you suggested that time, I'm ready. And I said, me, I'm not ready. Because my exams are here. I can't fast during exam. Hallelujah. You know, most of us feel that there's no protocol in God. Anytime you just come in, he will say, you just say, Jesus. Say, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The door of our generation in the realm of the spirit is open. As many people as can access it and enter into it, out of them God will begin to raise the banner of a new nation. But the time will come when the door will close. When the guy came and said, well, I can't fast now, sorry. They went for youth service. The third month in youth service, they told me he fainted one of those his faintings and he did not revive again. I think we need to look at the person of Satan in the Bible sometime, maybe in the future. And then you come to realize what the Bible says, by no means should we be ignorant of. Let me tell you the truth. The most ignorant set of people you have around are Christians. Occultic people are not as ignorant as we are. I said Ezekiel chapter 20. By the time you begin to read Ezekiel chapter 28 and begin to read from verse 11, you will see a personality that the Bible does not want you to miss. I don't have time to do so much of an exposition of the entire Ezekiel chapter 28, but for most pastors here can agree with me that Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 11 talks about the person of the devil. Alright? Now if we have agreed that one unanimously, then let us proceed and look at the scripture. Verse 13 says, you were in Eden. 28:13, you were in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your tabernacles and pipes were prepared in you on the day you were created. First of all, this is a revelation of the angel called Lucifer. In the height of his glory, the Bible says that the workmanship of his frame were with all these precious stones, the onyx. We don't have time to mention them and then describe them, know their colors, know their glory, know their manifestation, and know their brilliance. No time. But everything was fabricated into his workmanship. And it happens to be that inclusive of all those precious stones are also the tablets and the pipe. And if you know anything about music at all, you'll find that music is a combination of string instruments and wind instruments, and it happens to be that the pipe is a wind instrument and the tablet is a string instrument. It therefore means that out of his body, as he moves like that, music comes out of his body. Music just comes out. Because those, the tablet and the pipe, they were framed into his system, into his frame. They were just fabricated into his workmanship. And so when he walks around, music comes out. That's angel Lucifer. The Bible says that he walks up and down and to and fro with the coals of fire. So it means that the brilliant coals of fire, and this happens to be the only cherub that the Bible disclosed that walks in the coals of fire. So as he moves up and down, he walks. The high place of his manifestation when he is in this is music ecstasy is that he begins to walk as if he's a magician. When he is full in his ministry, he steps upon the coals of fire, and the coals of fire, instead of burning him, purifies him. It's a brilliant work of manifestation. Hallelujah. Let's get more about him. More about him. Okay. We can't go to the next verse. Just jump from there. Go to 15. You were perfected in all your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. That means that it's not the devil that created Satan. Not God that created Satan. God created Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan by choice. Just as God created you, you can become anything you want by choice. That's up to you. And that's why going with God and going on with God is going to depend upon your deliberate inclination in the place of your choice. Somebody say, okay, if Satan is so bad, then why did God create him? He didn't create no Satan, he created Lucifer. And the guy was perfect in all his ways until a point came where iniquity was found in him. Go with me to 16. And by the abundance of your treading, you became filled with violence within. Now, what all the translations I can get on that? My own translation says, by the abundance of your treading, you became filled with violence within. Help me with a different translation quickly. Oh my God, I love that. By the multitude of thy merchandise. Through the abundance of your commerce. The first merchant that the Bible ever mentioned is this personality. He is the angel of commerce, the cherub of commerce. He knows how to bargain and how to negotiate. He knows how to make you yield. He knows how to come to give you something in exchange of what he wants. The Bible says that his trading was abundant. Somebody say abundant. Oh my God. He knows how to come and negotiate with you. He knows he wants to distract you from God, but he brings something that you have appetite for. And he says, what about? I know the way you pray, I know the way you prophesy, I know the way you preach, but what about? The guy is a trader. He's into commerce. He knows how to bargain. He knows how to trade by barter. Why not take this and he keeps on negotiating. He keeps on pleading. He keeps on showing you his goods. He's a skilled cherub of commerce. We are going far, but there's no time to go far. Jump with me quickly. Oh my God. I talked so much about that this morning for those of us that were here. I talked about his negotiating power. And we went into several aspects of his negotiation. Many people, he has negotiated your destiny away from you. You are just walking now. And just moving without purpose, without direction. Not expecting that anything good can come out of your life. Because somewhere the angel of commerce met you. Now, let me show you a little of his bargaining power. And you will judge yourself if you were the one under that heat. If you can survive it. Hallelujah. And that's why the whole world is under his sway. He knows that we are of the kingdom of God and he cannot influence us from within. And he cannot express and put us under his tyranny. So he needs to come with his own skill as a trader. Have you seen my day in stock? Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. He knows that he cannot manipulate you and control you directly. Because everything that doesn't have the divine life, he doesn't need to question you before he pushes you. And if you complain, he will strike you. He's a tyrant. But by the victory that came through faith, we are able to overcome him. And so for you, he comes with a bargain, a passionate bargain, seeking your consent. And he will take from you and take from you and take from you until there's nothing to take again. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, you will see his bargaining ability. When he saw the situation that Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the resultant effect of that was that he was on hunger, he came with a bargain. If you are the Son of God, I heard somebody say you are the Son of God, actually. But I'm not sure. Maybe it was in a dream. But if you are the one, just show yourself back. I know, obviously, that you are unhungered. God the Father will not so worry you because you use your power to make bread to satisfy your want. The problem is just that I'm in doubt of who you actually are. I've been hearing stories about you from the distant place, and it's a privilege to meet you this time. Oh my God! Give me a handshake. What if you are? That's some of us. I see you. I saw you in the city. So many people hail you. And I don't know what you do, but it's not so much of a crime to make stones bread to satisfy what hurts you. I just need to know you the right way. And the master looked at me. Do you know I don't need to prove anything to you to show you who I am? Actually, man shall not live by bread alone. The thing that you so prioritize is not a priority to me. What is highly prized within my own vision is to fulfill every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. Oh, this guy is too high. But you see, there's something I know about men. If I show them glory, I can always get them into pride. And right there, he crystallized a vision. And as he crystallized that vision, they saw, alright, they were on the pinnacle of the temple and said, hey, I read the scripture a long time ago. I can't fully articulate it very well, but I heard about the angels having capacity to bear you up. Angels having strength enough to hold you so that your feet will not dash against the stone. That's a sight I've always desired to see. And there you are. Very pleasing. Why not cast yourself down? I want to see how angels will. Can you see that what he's bringing, Jesus had no affinity for it? He was dead to it. He cannot deal with those kind of people. He can't have them under his sway. The third temptation you find in the book of Matthew chapter 4 reveals the joker of the prince of this world. Somebody say joker. Have you ever played what before? You keep all your 20s. You keep it for the time of problem. And then you present it when the game becomes hot. You can use it to check. You can use it to need something. It has many functions. So that's the best card you can ever have. It has so many functions. There's just one card. The Lord give you understanding. Now, it was in the third temptation that he revealed his true joker, his perspective, his vision, and his true tool with which he has governed nations and manipulated kings and frustrated destinies. And I don't know if he has you under his grip, but tonight you can be free anyway. Hallelujah. Please look upon your Bible. Verse 8 says, again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So it was like a vision that he crystallized before his face. And saw all the kingdoms, Saudi Arabia, saw everything. He just passed before his face in a moment of time. Hallelujah. And he said to him, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. He has brought out his joker, that's mammon. The devil has not started tempting you until he uses his true tool, mammon. He doesn't gain so much flying around the night. So don't be so troubled that he flies. But when the devil really wants to be the devil, he comes with mammon. And he showed you all the glories of the kingdoms of the world. This is my true treasure. It was delivered unto me. And you don't need to go to the cross to receive it back from me. We can strike a deal just now, and it will be yours. No need for you to die. Do you remember when last he bargained with you? Do you remember when last he bargained with you? You thought it was an accident when that dancer passed before your face on Wednesday. You thought it was an accident.
Oh my God, you need to be wiser.
He was just trying to see whether when the dancer passes, whether your eye will pass along. Then he said, at least that one moved you. He wants to see whether that is commodity will be pleasing to your soul. And just before he could wait, your eyes had gone. So, all right, let me repackage it. The method. The angel of commerce buys merchandise, the Bible says, he has been filled with the abundance of violence within. That means he has violated all spiritual rules, regulations, and codes just to carry out his trade. Even though the implication of that is that he puts himself in a position of utter and severe judgment without mercy at all. But he doesn't mind that. He can subject himself to judgment if only he can trade a little more. Maybe he has bargained with your head already. And when you came, you loved his product. But it was your head that was the price tag. And many giants have fallen. Many nations have been crippled. Many kings have died. I pray that you rise to see this evil one and value him for what he really is according to the scriptures. So that your walk with God will be circumspect, full of discernment. And you never give him the opportunity of a foothold. If not, he takes a stronghold. He's killed in bargaining work. And if you go to the book of Matthew chapter 6, you will hear Jesus speaking, and he said, no one can serve two masters. You will either be loyal to one and despise the other. And people began to wonder why he was speaking in parables. Then he broke the jinx and said, you cannot serve God and man. But it happens to be that the central revelation of the body of Christ in the church today is a drive towards a gain that is material to appease the desire of self. Oh, don't you suspect such a thing? That the bargaining one, the angel of commerce, must have crept in order to endanger a generation and blind them out of light totally. The possibility of restoration will no longer stand in view. I said this morning when we preached in the service, I said that the greatest dread of the devil are prophets like John the Baptist. Witnesses that still bear the truth on their lips, he looks for their head. So that there will be no one to reveal the truth and to show the way. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. And I'll show you the use of his ultimate power, Mammon. With that tooth, he's going to rule nations. That is a code that the Antichrist is going to use in defining his oppression in humanity. With humanity. And if you are here today, you are not dead to Mammon. You still respond to it. God will not build with you. Revelation 13, as I round up. Oh, my time is spent. I'm sorry. Let me just read that scripture. I will not explain it. Just to show you his power. Revelation 13, and I'll be done. Right? Verse 16 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. Oh, sorry, I did not tell you. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, you are going to see his first power. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, you are going to see his second power. And if you open to the book of Revelation chapter 13, you will find out that John saw two beasts. The first beast is a political ruler. Because the Bible speaks of his seat and his great authority. The second beast is a religious ruler that comes out of the earth. And so the scenario that is pictured there, the scenario of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was a political ruler. Jezebel was a spiritual ruler. And Jezebel was manipulating Ahab to do her will. That's the same scenario that is pictured here. Two beasts were mentioned. And when you see, you notice that the more terrible beast is the second beast. Because the beast, the Bible says, has two heads like a lamb. It was when he spoke that John discovered that it was a dragon. Deception. And when you go on, you are going to see the ultimate power of the devil written in the book of Revelation chapter 13 from verse 16 to 18. Please help me read. He causes all both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and all on their foreheads, that no one may buy, somebody say buy, or sell. Stop first, before we go on. That, what is that? Commerce. The merchant is here again. No one may buy or sell, save he has received the number of the beast, the mark of the beast, or the number of his name. That's the economic win with which is going to rule nations. The economic win. He has brought it again. The truth of the matter is this. It is by these winds that the whole sway of the earth run. And where God is taking us to is a place of addiction to Christ. Where nothing influences your life save the voice of Christ. The presence of the Spirit. We'll talk about that tomorrow. How do you walk in this world that is under the sway of this mighty tyrant? That no man will buy or sell. If you are going to practice commerce, I will have to give you license very soon. Without my license, you never buy, you never sell. You see how my power, how strong my power is. I will use it to force you to worship. That's where the true potential of Mammon will be uncovered in his full strength. He will use it as his tool of approval. And if you don't have it, I will make you disconnect you from buying and selling. That's when you find out how strong my power is. You need to take my registration mark. That's the merchant. Rise up, pray for me. Let's rise up. Now, see, don't be in a hurry to pray. Calm down. I know prayer wants to come out of you. Don't pray anyhow now. Don't pray yet.
And glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. All His mercies will not go by. Amen.
Way. I pray your ears are able to hear the clarion call from the Spirit. how that God wants us to really stand in the kingdom. Well, the only thing that influences you is not your appetite for gain. It's not your appetite for fame. It's not a fallen pleasure seeking your attention. But what moves you is the Christ within you. The loyalty to God becomes absolute. That's when you live in kingdom reality. Christianity has been bastardized in our time. So many preaching here and there, but the voice of God is not. The days in which we live are the days of the renewal. He's restoring the kingdom, restoring the perspective of the kingdom, so that he can have the people that he can call his own. The question is, will you be in that number? And for his mercies and your will. Through the teaching from yesterday and today, you have just found out that you are outside of alignment with the realities of which we speak about the kingdom. Heaven wants to hear your cry. God is releasing his anointing upon this generation to do what our fathers failed in doing. Many of our fathers will sleep. Many will be alive but irrelevant. God has shifted his attention to the younger generation, because he wants to raise a replacement army, an army that will win where their fathers failed. The appetite that our fathers had that made them fail, we are supposed to be purged from the same. There were two things that happened to Elijah when he prayed upon the Mount Carmel. The first thing that happened to him was a recovery anointing, and the second thing was the overtaken anointing. These two anointings happened to be associated with the prophetic and the apostolic anointing that the Holy Spirit will be releasing upon his church in this time. The Bible said that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran ahead of the chariots of Ahab. The chariots of Ahab had begun the race before he started running. But when the hand of God came upon him, oh my God, as the hand of God is going to come upon this generation, we are going to overtake everything of the world that has gone far and farther from our reach, and we overtake it, and we are going to determine what happens in this hell. But before that glorious thing will happen, many of us need to reconcile with God here and say, Lord, I know that I missed it this time. I don't want to go back from this conference the same.